Today's shiur is Masecht Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Beis, and we will begin on Daf Chav Beis, Amin Aleph, at the Mishnah, on the top of the Yomid. Says the Mishnah, Av v'nosh rosa chaydish, yelchu. If the father and the son both saw the new moon, they could come to say Eidus. Says the Mishnah, loishim estafim zemzeh, not that they could combine to be one pair of Edom, because a father and a son cannot say testimony together. Rather, shemipasul echemehem, if one of them will become disqualified, yitzdarif hasheni macher, there may be another Edom Bezdin, who came as a single person, and then they could, one of these two people will be available to become the other pair to that aid. So the machloikis, Rashi and Rambam, what does the Mishnah mean with she'im yipasul, that he may become disqualified? The Rambam learns, she'im yipasul, that if it turns out that the father or the son have one of the deficiencies that are listed in the next Mishnah that makes somebody possible. Rashi learns, and the reason the Rambam learns that way, explained the Mefarshim, because that's the way the two Mishnahs connect. The Mishnah here says that one of them may turn out to be disqualified, and then the Mishnah tells us what are the disqualifications. Rashi learns she'im yipasul means not that it'll turn out that he has one of the disqualifications listed in this next Mishnah. Rather, im yipasul means that it turns out that when we question him, as we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem in the Mishnayis, that the Edom were questioned, when we question him, it may turn out that he can't answer all the chakiris and bedikis properly, and therefore he becomes disqualified. What forces Rashi to say that pshat? Beautiful. Because if the concern is that he has one of these psulim that the next Mishnah mentions, so he shouldn't have never traveled, he was initially disqualified. If the disqualification is that when he's questioned he doesn't answer correctly, we had no way of knowing that that would happen prior to his going. That is another question that the Rishonim and the Achronim discuss. The halacha is, many of us might have seen this at a wedding, when you have two Edom, we appoint two Edom at a wedding, what we tell them is only you two should be Edom, and everyone to the exclusion of everyone else. Why do we say that? Because the halacha is that let's say we have a pair, or not just a pair, many people seeing testimony, and one of those people, or more, are disqualified, that disqualifies the entire group. So here we have a father and a son. A father and a son, as we just learned, are disqualified. So once they saw Edus together, they're automatically disqualified. So what's the difference if only one of them will be necessary? Their being Edom together is a disqualification. So some Rishonim say that this din, that they are disqualified when they see something together, is limited to different types of Edus. But Edus on Kiddush HaChodesh were more lenient. And they say a very nice explanation. As we've been learning, and we'll continue to learn in Mitzvah Shem, really Bezdin knows when the new month is, because they know when the Moilit is. They could do the calculation. The Torah tells us we have to follow Edus. So we have to follow Edus. But since Bezdin really doesn't rely on them that much for the Edus, all of the stringencies that normally apply to Edus do not apply over here. That's one approach. Another approach that I saw is when is that halacha applied? It's only when the two of them intended to be a pair together. Here they didn't intend to be a pair together. The father saw one thing, the son saw another thing, they never really joined together, and that's why this disqualification is not relevant. Rav Shimon disagrees. He holds Av Benoi, V'kol HaKroivim, K'shem L'Edus HaChodesh. Relatives can come say Edus together for Kiddush HaChodesh. And the Mefarshim point out, if it already says Av Benoi, that a father and a son could say together, why does the Mishnah also say Kol HaKroivim? So they answer, since we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, that what is the source that relatives could say together? Because the Gemara quotes a pasuk by Moshe of Aaron. So the Mishnah is saying like this, Kol HaKroivim, brothers could say Edus together, as we see by Moshe of Aaron. And once we see that brothers could say, we extend it to say that father and son have the same din. Amrav Yossi, Maisa B'Tuvia HaRoifet, there was a story where there was Tuvia the doctor, Shiras HaChodesh B'Yerushalayim, he saw the new moon in Yerushalayim, Hu U'B'Noi V'Avdoi M'Shuchar. he and his son and his Abdoi HaMashuch, that means a freed Eved Kanani, the Kiblu Oisai Vespinoi, the Kahanim, Kiblu Kahanim Oisai Vespinoi, the Kahanim allowed him and his son to say testimony, Pislos Avdoi. And they said that the Eved can't. Why can't the Eved say Edis? So Tosfos explains that for Kiddush HaChodesh, we have to have people who are Miuchasim, that have a very Choshev Yichus, and obviously an Eved Kanani, even though he's Meshuchar, certainly if he's not Meshuchar, he's disqualified. But even when he's Meshuchar, he doesn't have a Yichus, and he therefore cannot say Eidus. Ukshibolof Ne Bezdin, when they came to Bezdin, Kiblu Oisvus Abdoi, they suggest the opposite. The him and his Eved can combine, because they're not relevant, they're not related. Apostle Spinoi, a father and a son, cannot say Eidus together. So the Mefarshim again come back with a question. The Aloch is, says it many times in Shas, so here what happened is the father and son said testimony together. It became disqualified because the father and the son can't say it together. So if so, how could one of them still say Eidus? Eidus Shabbat L'Muktzos, Shabbat L'Kula, they become both disqualified. So again, some Rishonim say that all of these halachas that we've been quoting aren't relevant to Hilchus Kiddush Eidus Kiddush Achoidush. But the Stipler says a beautiful teretz. But first, he makes a diik in the Mishnah. He says, what happened here, says the Mishnah, he says, what pshat? First it says, v'kiblo kahanim, it speaks about the kahanim, and then it says, bezdin. What are the kahanim? So he says, what they used to have was a pre-interview process. When the Edom came to bezdin, they didn't just walk into bezdin, they had the kahanim interview them, and see if they were worthy to come in to say Edus. Since the father and the son only said testimony to the Kahanim, they never said testimony to Bezdin. When is there a halacha of Eidus Shabbat L'Muktzos Shabbat L'Kulay? When you say it to a Bezdin. They never said it to a Bezdin. They only said it to the Kahanim. There was only some sort of a pre-interview process. And therefore, they didn't become disqualified because of Eidus Shabbat L'Muktzos Shabbat L'Kulay. Before they walked into Bezdin, Bezdin warned them, make sure that a father and a son should not say Eidus together, because then we'll have a problem with Eidus Shabbat L'Muktzos Shabbat L'Kulay.
Except here, the Eved got past the Kahanim.
The Eved got past the Kahanim. Maybe what you will have to say is that once they walked into Bezdin, the father and son were told, don't say together. So they said, okay, we can't say together, could we bring in the Eved? And the Bezdin said, yeah, bring in the Eved. They made a mistake. They were the screeners, and they made a... Obviously, they did not know. There's a machlokes. We see there's a machlokes. They obviously had like the Tanakama. Amar Rav Levi. My Talmud Rav Shimon. What does Rav Shimon hold that relatives can say Eidus together? The Ksiva Yom HaShem HaMoshe Vel Aaron Be'eret Mitzrayim Lamer. HaChoydesh HaZeh Lochem says the Gemara Eidus Zutemus to Ksher Bechem. It could be kosher with you. And Moshe Vel Aaron were relatives. They were brothers. Rabbanan, who hold that relatives are disqualified. How do they explain this pasuk? Eidus zutei mesur lachem. It should be used rabbonim, but they din of choshev people, but not relatives. Amar Rav Yoi, see? Maisa b'tuvya roifi, the story that we just quoted. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava. Hilchos Rav Shimon, the halacha is like Rav Shimon, that relatives could say Eidus for Kiddush HaChodesh. Amar le Rav Huna le Rav Chanan bar Rava. Two questions. Number one, Rav Yoisi. We have a rule throughout Shas that when we have Machlokes Rav Yosi and Rav Shimon, we follow Rav Yosi. So how are you following Rav Shimon? Furthermore, or Maisa, we also have another rule that whenever we see something was paskened, halacha la Maisa, that's a strong indication that that's the halacha. In our Mishnah, we just learned a Maisa where relatives were disqualified. So how could you say the relatives are kosher? Vat amrit hilchos Rav Shimon. How do you say halachos Rav Shimon? Amalai, so he said, Vazimnan Sagiyat, many times, Amris Kamei, the Rav, Hilchus Krav Shimon, I said to Rav, the Alokas, like Rav Shimon, V'layam V'laymidi, he never disagreed. Amalai, Hechetanis, tell me exactly what you told Rav. Amalai, Ipcha, I had the positions reversed. I had Rav Shimon holding the relatives are disqualified, and Rav Yosi holding the relatives are kosher. Since you had Reb Shimon holding relatives are disqualified, that's why he told you that halacha is like Reb Shimon. So the Mefarshim asked obvious question. If he had the positions reversed, what was the big question here? So Farshim explained, it's not that he told him, I had the positions reversed. He said, I told Rav the halachas of Shimon. So then he started wondering, how did Rav agree to that? After examining what happened, he said, oh, you know why Rav said the halachas of Shimon? Because you had the positions reversed. But now the question is, even though he had the positions reversed, and he had Rav Shimon holding the relatives are disqualified, we don't have the problem that whenever we have a machloikis, we don't have a problem with the maisa. Because now his psak is consistent with the maisa. The relatives are kosher. But didn't we just say that there's still a rule that whenever we have a machloikis Rav Shimon, Rav Yossi, we follow Rav Yossi. And here Rav was following Rav Shimon. So two answers to that question. One answer is, when is the halacha that Rav Shimon and Rav Yossi, the halacha is like Rav Yossi? When we don't have a maisa against it. But when we have a maisa, that always is the most important factor to take in consideration when we want to decide a halacha l'maisa. Another terrorist is the Rav Taka didn't subscribe to this rule of Rav Shimon Rav Yossi, halach Rav Yossi. I'm a Tevi Berei de Rav Meri Tevi, I'm a Mukver, I'm a Shmuel, Hilchus Rav Shimon, the halach Rav Shimon. But here there's a machlokes Rav Shimon, the Rishonim, what does halach Rav Shimon mean? Because now we have two versions of what Rav Shimon said. We have our Mishnah's version of Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon allows relatives, and we have the Gemara's version of Rav Shimon, the relatives apostle. So it's machlokes Rav Shimon, if Eidim l'kiddush ha-chaydush, a kosher apostle, we should have the shayla soon. Eilein Epsul, says the Mishnah, the following people are disqualified from saying Eidus. As Rashi and Tosfos both point out, the Epsul is Midrabonim. They're not disqualified Midraisa, they're disqualified Midrabonim. The first one is a Mesachik Bekuvya. A Mesachik Bekuvya, somebody plays dice. Somebody gambles. So as the Rishonim explain, why is he not considered a Ganif? That's apostle deraisa. So there are two approaches taken by the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that the only time somebody is considered a ganif or a gazlan, that he's apostle deraisa, is when he takes somebody else's money. If I walk into your house, Chas v'Shalom, and I take something of yours, that's apostle. When we're gambling, I didn't put my hands in your pocket and take something out. That's why it's not apostle deraisa. Others say, because as a machlokes, if gambling is considered gzeila midaraisa, because when you gamble, it's an asmachta, you know you may lose. And therefore, if you hold a smachta kanya, midaraisa, it's a kinyan, and therefore he's not a gazla midaraisa. The next one is malvi beribis, somebody who lends with interest. Again, interest is os midaraisa. So the Rishonim have a number of approaches. One approach is the same approach. When you take interest, you didn't stick your hand into somebody else's pocket. Another approach is that only ribis ktsutza, we're not going to learn hilchos ribis today, we'll learn mesechta about metzia, is also midaraisa. Here we're not talking about ribis deraisa. Yet a third way I saw the Rishonim explain, we're not talking about the person paying, person receiving the ribis, the malva. We're talking about the loiva. That the issa of ribis also applies to the loiva, but that's certainly not considered a person that did something of a geneva. He paid, he didn't get paid. Mefricha yoinim. There are two pshatim mefricha yoinim. One pshat mefricha yoinim is very similar to Mesach Bekuvya. They used to have bird races, and they gambled on the birds. And again, the issues are the same issues. Tosfos also brings out the point of ein oisik bi yeshuvish loilam. Somebody who gambles is not living and not earning, so to speak, an honest living. Others say mefricha yoinim is that people used to train their birds how to go into somebody else's field and entice the birds from the other field to come away, to travel away. And that's not really Geneva Daraisa, it's only Osmid Rabbonin. V'sochre Shvius, doing business in Shemitah. Again, why is it not a Daraisa? A number of approaches in the Rishonim. Some say it's talking about Shemitah B'Zman Hazeh, which Shemitah B'Zman Hazeh, according to many, is only the Rabbonin. Others say that it's talking about doing business with Peir Shvius, that is not always Osmid Daraisa. V'Avodim. Here Rashi says when we talk about Avodim, they are Poslim of Daraisa. Says the Mishnah, Zerklal, this is the rule. Call Eidus Sha'en Ishik Sherilah, any Eidus for which a woman is disqualified, Af Ein Sherilah. Because as we learned, the Gemara Masech Tivamis teaches us, under certain circumstances, women may say Eidus. Two specific issues are to say Eidus that somebody is dead, so his wife should not remain in Aguna, or to say that a woman had illicit relationship that she shouldn't drink the Meis Saita. There are a number of other circumstances that I saw in the Mefarshim discussing about people who may or may not be disqualified for Eidus. One shaila I saw, the Michas Chinuch discusses, what happens if somebody's negei beidus? That means if somebody's going to come in and say that today is Rosh Chodesh. And if today is Rosh Chodesh, there's a debt due to him. So on Rosh Chodesh. So if today is Rosh Chodesh, he can collect his money. If it's not Rosh Chodesh, he has to wait till tomorrow. Is he kosher apostle? Says the Michas Chinuch on negei beidus is apostle. Another question, interesting question, Michas Chinuch discusses. Let's say someone's birthday, a bar mitzvah boy, his birthday is in Rosh Chodesh. And he walks in and says that today he saw the new moon. So if today is Rosh Chodesh, he's a bar mitzvah bacher, and he's kosher leidus. If, on the other hand, it's not Rosh Chodesh, he's not yet bar mitzvah. What's the halacha? So really the Mefarshim say that this question depends on how do we look at the eidus. Do we look at the eidus as part of a process? First they say eidus, and then Bezdin declares it Rosh Chodesh. So then they're disqualified, because when they said eidus, it wasn't yet Rosh Chodesh. Or is it all one process, the eidus and the declaration, and it's like Kitev V'yodai Boyin Kechad. And saw another interesting psak from the Har Tzvi. The Har Tzvi says that if someone doesn't follow the psak of Rabbonim, Rabbonim give out a psak, and he knowingly violates what the Rabbonim say, he's pasul eidus. But he quotes a sma that says that let's say somebody doesn't do something they're supposed to do, but he doesn't realize that if by doing that he becomes pasul eidus, that it doesn't automatically become pasul eidus. Then I saw interesting tshuva from the Igros Moshe. Ramosha says that even though we know in halacha, we've discussed it here also, that a tinik shenishba, somebody who's irreligious because he doesn't know better, is certainly not considered a mumer. Says Ramosh, still somebody who's a tinik shenishba and isn't religious can't be considered kasher leidus. Continues the Gemara. Ha'ishik sherlo, any situation where a woman is kasher, afhank sherlo. Then the people listed in our Mishnah are also kasher. Amar Vashi, Zois Ameris, what we learn from here, Gazlan the Devreim, if somebody's only a Gazlan with Rabbanan, Kshayim Leidus Isha, he's kosher Leidus Isha. A Gazlan with a Raisa is possible for all types of testimony. But I saw an interesting Ritva. Ritva says that even though we're saying now that a Gazlan with a Raisa is possible, but let's say the Gazlan with a Raisa was Mesich Lefitumai. Somebody who's a Gazlan with a Raisa walked in and not with the intent of saying testimony. Just mention, I saw this man dead. So even though he's a Gazlan with a Raisa, since he wasn't saying testimony, it was Mesich Lefi Tumai, we could trust what he says. Says the Mishnah, Misha Roy Es HaChodesh, somebody saw the new moon, Veni Yochel Lahalach, and he can't walk to Bezdin. And it's Shabbos. So Melichon HaSoy Al Chamor, we could take him on a donkey. And as we said in the previous year, there's a Machloikas, how far we allow Chilul Shabbos. The Rambam says anything we need to do to get the Edom there is permissible. Others say that only Mechamer, leading an animal, is mutter. Other things are not. Afil b'mita. How will they explain putting him on the bed? They're going to explain that you put the bed on the donkey, and that's how you get him there, but you're not allowed to carry the person himself. If there's a concern that they're going to be attacked, they could take sticks. Let's say from there, from where the Edom are, till Bezdin, is a long trip. They're allowed to take food along. So the way to explain the Mishnah is as follows. The Edom saw the new moon Friday night. If they estimate that they can't get to Bezdin till Matzoi Shabbos, there's no point in going, because the day is over, so it's too late. But if they estimate that they can make it before Matzoi Shabbos, they should go, and they're even allowed to take along food. And as the Mefarshim explained, maybe we should say they shouldn't be allowed to take along food, because it's not more than a day that they would have to fast, because by Friday night they were still home, and by Matzoi Shabbos they'll be by Bezdin. Still, to encourage them to go, even though they could fast, they're allowed to take along food. The letter go out to say this. Eidus on Shabbos, Shneme, Eilu Ma'adei Hashem, Ashatikra Yisra B'mei Adam, even on Shabbos, Eidus HaChodesh is Doich HaShabbos. Harun L'chav Rosh Hashanah, Harun L'chav Rosh Hashanah, Harun L'chav Rosh Hashanah. Says the Mishnah, Im Einem Akirin Oysoi, if the Bezdin, that they're going to come to say that they saw the new moon, doesn't know them, And so how do we know that they're trustworthy? Then the halach is, we send along people to be able to take, to say testimony that these people who saw the new moon are honest. Says the Mishnah. Originally, they took edus from everyone. Once the tzedakim ruined that situation, and the Gemara will explain it, we should only accept it from people who we trust. So the Pnei Yeshua, an explanation of Tosfos, says a beautiful pshat here. He says, this Mishnah seems to be out of order. The Mishnah should have first said, first we trusted everyone. Then there was a problem with the Baisusim. So he said that the people who come to say Eidus have to bring, we have to make sure that the Bezdin that they're saying Eidus to know them. And what it means, the Bezdin know them? It means at least two of the three members know them or are able to take testimony from people that they know. The Mishnah says first that we send along people, and then the Mishnah says the why. So Pnei Yeshua explains, Tosfos says that we learned in the previous Mishnah that the Edom are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, to say Edus. Says the Pnei Yeshua, what the Mishnah do here is saying is a continuation. Not only the Edom are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, but even the people who are coming along with them to say that they're trustworthy people are also allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. And that's what the pshat in the order of the Mishnah is, to keep these two dinim next to each other. But ask the Torah, and why? Midaraisa, everybody has a Cheskes Kashrus. We trust every Jew. It's the Rabbanon that said that we have to stop being concerned. So now the question is, how could, because of a Rabbanon concern, we allow people to be Mechal Shabbos? Says the Torah Evan, beautiful pshat. He says, we see that when the Torah says that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Eidus HaChodesh, the Torah is not speaking to a person. The Torah is speaking to a concept. The Torah is telling us, whatever it takes to be able to be Mechadish HaChodesh, even though it's Shabbos, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Given that these people coming along to say that the people who saw the new moon are trustworthy, is crucial to Kiddush HaChodesh, they're included in the heter of the Torah of El Me'adei Hashem Asher Tikra Yisam Me'adam. Ask the Gemara, and this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara's question. The Mishnah says, Mishalchim my achal idiyon. We send somebody along to say that they're trustworthy. My achar, says the Gemara, what does achar mean? Chad. That we send along one person to say that these people are trustworthy. Says the Gemara, v'chad mi mehemen. So if one person says that these people are trustworthy, is that enough? Vatanya, we learned, and like Tosfos explains, from the Mishnah's terminology, it seems that one person is enough. Acher is a Lashon Yachid. Ask the Rav Tanya, Ma'aseh Shebo Hu Ve'Eid of Imoy Lahadalof. Two people came to say that the aid was trustworthy. And as Rashi adds, Rashi says that this story that the Bryce is quoting happened on Shabbos. Says this Fasemus, how does Rashi know, or why is Rashi saying that it happened on Shabbos? Says this Fasemus, a beautiful pshat. Fasemus says that if it happened during the week, there is no proof that you need two people. You know why two people? Because of course it's better to have two people. But here, the story happened on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we always want to avoid Chil Shabbos. But still, we allow two people to go. Why? Because it must be that you have to have two people. So then how does our Mishnah say that one person is enough? Amra Papa, answers Rav Papa, when the Mishnah says, Acher, my Acher, Zog Acher. It doesn't mean one person, it means a pair. That's the way to explain the Mishnah. If we're not going to explain the Mishnah that way, there's another question in understanding the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, if they don't know the person, my oisai, what is that saw the new moon? My oisai, what does that mean? Ilema oisai chad, that only one person saw the new moon, asked the Gemara of Chad mi Mehemen, is one person trustworthy? Mishpat Ksebei. Regarding Eidus HaChodesh, the Pasuk says, Ki Choyk Yisrael Hu, Mishpat Elokei Yaakov. And a Mishpat requires two Eidim. Elamai Oysa, what does Oysa mean? Oysa Hazug. Even though it says a Loshen Yochid, it means two. Hachanami, when the Mishnah uses the word Acher, my Acher, what does Acher mean? Zug Acher. It means a pair. Ask the Gemara, V'chadloi mehemin is one person not trustworthy to say testimony that the people are honest. V'tanya, ma'is Reb Neroi, shaholach etzala eid, laharalap, b'shavis, b'usha, Reb Neroi went himself to say eidus. So we see that even one person is trustworthy. Amar Rabbi Neroi Sadachrina Havadei. It was Rabbi Neroi went himself. Somebody else went along with Rabbi Neroi. Ask the Gemara, if somebody else went along, why does the Brice only speak about Rabbi Neroi alone going? The reason why the Brice doesn't mention the other person, Mishum Kvodesh Rabbi Neroi. So the Pnei Yeshua explains, Pshat in the Gemara is that really Rabbi Neroi should be trusted. Rabbi Neroi. But why don't we trust him? Because loy plug. Chazal tell us a rule you need two people. It makes no difference who the people are. So we're really trying to show that. How do we show that? By saying, who was the one person that went? It was such a person that was as great as Rabbi Neroi. And yet him alone wasn't enough. Ravash Yama, Rabbi Neroi Sadachrina Hav B'Usha. Rabbi Neroi had a different person in Usha. V'ozal Rabbi Neroi let's drufi behadoi. And Rabbi Neroi went himself because he knows that somebody else is in Usha where the Sanhedrin is, that he'll pair up with him. Says the Mari Hachim Ayla Memra. As Machloikas Rishonim, I'm not going to get into it. If the question of Yehachi is only going on the second Teretz, that's how Rashi seems to learn, or if the question of Yehachi is going on both Teretzim. Ma the time of Mesveka Loi Mechalalinim, that we would say, since we're not sure if the aid in Usha will actually team up with him. And perhaps, since it's a Suffolk, we should not be allow Rabbi Neroi to be Mechal Shabbos, Kamash Malon, that even though it's a Suffolk, we allow him to be Mechal Shabbos. What's the Suffolk? So I saw a very beautiful Ritva. Ritva says like this. If Rabbi Neroi is going to say that he saw the new moon, and there's an Aiden Usha also going to say that he saw the new moon, so there's no reason to be concerned that the other aide will not say what he knows. But here, says the Ritva, what was the other aide supposed to talk about? He wasn't supposed to talk about the new moon. He was supposed to speak about the reliability of the aides. People are very reluctant to talk about other people. Maybe they should be reluctant to talk about other people. So therefore, even though we knew there was somebody else in Usha who knew these aidim, there's no guarantee that when it comes to come to Beis Din and speak about them, they're going to really come forth. So it comes out that Neroi might have gone for nothing. Still, the halacha is he should go. However, the Paiskim say that the only time we allow him to go and be Mechal Shabbos is when there's only one Suffolk. But let's say there's a Svek Sveka. That means there's a Suffolk if there's a person who knows. And then there's a Suffolk, will that person talk? Then we don't allow him to be Mechal Shabbos. But then I saw Gevaldige Kasha. He was saying that we allow Chil Shabbos, even though it's a Suffolk, if what I'm doing will have any purpose. We know that, let's say there's a Shaila, if today is the eighth day of a child, from when the child was born, do we make a, so when it's a Suffolk, that means we don't know when the child was born Friday evening. Was it Friday or Shabbos? Or was it Shabbos or Sunday? We don't make a bris on Shabbos. So why here are we makel, and there we're not makel? So some Rishonim say a very simple teretz. A bris you could always do the next day. But a Kiddush HaChodesh is very time sensitive. So you can't say we'll do it the next day. The next day will be the wrong day. Another teretz is that Kiddush HaChodesh is considered a mitzvah rabba, a very important mitzvah. Why? For two reasons. The Ber Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan explains, because it's a mitzvah that affects every Jew. A bris affects the person who's having the bris milah, but doesn't affect the rest of Klal Yisrael. Another pshat is that all of the Yom Tovim, as we've been learning, and will and Mitzvah Shem still learn, are dependent on Kiddush HaChodesh. However, a bris doesn't, Mayadis don't depend on it. And a fourth teretz I saw to this question is the entire concept of Eidus HaChodesh, as we explained earlier, it's always a Suffolk. Because let's say we have two witnesses that saw the new moon. Are we guaranteed that they're going to be accepted? First of all, we may find out that they're possible. Number two, they may not do well on the examination, which we're going to discuss more in the next year. So we see that the Torah told us specifically that you're allowed to be mechalal Shabbos for Kiddush HaChodesh, even when it's a Suffolk. But the Torah never told us that by Bris Milah. And that's why by Kiddush HaChodesh, when it's a Suffolk, we're allowed to be mechalal Shabbos, and by Bris not. Ula came and gave a report that they made when they made Rosh Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael. Omer of Kahana, lo mi by Ula. There's no question Ula, the Gavra Rabahu, he's a great person, the Mehemen. Our filo inish the Alma, even a person who we don't know to be on Ula's stature, never Mehemen, could be trusted to say, to report that Bezdin made Rosh Chodesh. My Tama, kol milsa David legluya, something that's going to become evident ultimately, lo mishakar be'inshi, people don't lie. Tanya nami hachi, bo echad b'soy for oilam. If somebody came on the other side of the world, from a kitchu bezin zachaydish, and we don't know this gentleman, we could trust him. Nema. So Mefarshim explain, all sorts of kulis are included in this Gemara. Normally, the halacha is that an aid me p'aid. If I didn't see it myself, I only heard it from somebody else, it's possible. Here, an aid me p'aid is kosher. And similarly, even though people who we described earlier in the shir are disqualified for Adis, will not be disqualified just to report what they saw Bezdin do, because the Gemara says it's a milsa zavila legluya lemeshaka beinshi. The Mefarshim asks, why does the Gemara have to rely on milsa zavila legluya lemeshaka beinshi? Why don't we just say eid echad nemen bisurin? We have a cloud that eid echad is nemen. So they say that this is not regular situation of Erech Nem Bisurin. Why? First of all, again, like we said before, all of the Yom Tovim depend on this. Another pshat is that Erech Nem Bisurin teaches us that we could trust one aid to say a kula. If one person tells me something is kosher, I could trust it. Here we're using Erech Nem Bisurin, it could be a chumrah, or the Yontav earlier, or whatever, so that we don't say Erech Nem Bisurin. Here we also may say it against the Roiv. We just learned that most years, Roif Shanim El was not Mubar. El was only 29 days. And Eid Echad is not Nem and Kenegad Roif. So we can't rely on the concept of Eid Echad Nem Visurin. What is the concept we're relying on? Kamis David Legluye Lemishakar Bayinchi. Brishayna, says the Mishnah, Haimakama Eidis Mikol Adam. They accept it from anybody. Tanah Boran. Until the Visusin made a Kilkel. Ma Kilkelu Kilkelu Abisusin, says the Gemara. One time the Besusim wanted to fool the Chachamim. Why? So Rashi explains. There's a very fundamental machloikis between us and the Tzedakim. The Pasuk says, we machros Shabbos. The day after Shabbos is when the day we bring Omer. We say machros Shabbos means the second day of Pesach. Because the first day of Pesach is called Shabbos, because it's a yontif, and you're not allowed to do malacha that's not oichel nefesh. They defined Shabbos literally, as they always define it. So, they said Shabbos means Shabbos, Saturday. So in the Baisusim's calendar, Pesach, the first day was always a Shabbos, and the second day was a Sunday. And Shavuos was always a Sunday. So they had here an opportunity where they felt if they could manipulate the Edom, their Pesach and our Pesach will come out to someday, and that's why they hired, as we'll see, Pasul Edus. As Tosfos, they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. They don't believe in Makos Shabbos means Pesach, but they believe in Torah Shabbat Ksav. So how could they allow the Edom to say something which is not true, and we'll have the wrong day for Rosh Chodesh, and we'll have the wrong day for Pesach? They believe in Torah Shabbat Ksav. So Tosfos says a very b'chiddush. He says, even though they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, and this is the way many of Mefarshim explain Tosfos, they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh l'chumra, but they believe in Torah Shabbat Peh l'kula. So when we have a rule, as we just learned, atma filu shagim, atma filu mezedim, that if Bezdin makes a mistake, it stands, that they believed in. So therefore, even though they knew that Bezdin was making a mistake, it doesn't disqualify what Bezdin says. The Masham, because of this, has a whole different explanation of the Gemara. Because it's a Gevaldige Kasha. The Masham says that Pshat, he says it's, I think, based on a Yerushalmi. He says that they didn't agree Well, what we've been learning for the last couple of days, that it's the Edom that determine when, and then Bezdin, that determine when the Chodesh is. It's always based on the Moilid. It's based on the calculation. And what happened here was, they saw Bezdin wasn't going to follow the calculation, and because of that, they wanted to manipulate Bezdin to follow the calculation, which they thought is what the Torah wants. They hired two people, $400 for $400. Echem Mishalanu, one was a fine person from us, Vechem Mishalhem. He came in, and he said what he was paid to say. Shalanu, Amalai, Emar, Ketzid Reisas Levana. What did you exactly see? Amalam Ha'ilah Ha'isi B'mala Adumim. I was walking in Mala Adumim. For Isav Shu Roberts Bain Sloim, I saw that the moon was between two racks. Roish Adaimel Egel, its head looked like a calf. Oznav Daimel Agdi, its ears looked like a goat. Kanav Daimel Slatzvi, its horns looked like a deer. Znav of Manachsle Ben Yerkosov, its tail was between its legs. Fitzdatsdi Boy, and I looked at him. Fitzdatsdi, and I shivered. I shook. Fitzdatsdi Lachor, and I fell backwards. But may not be meaningly, if you don't even trust what I have to say, here I have 200 zuz that could prove to you that I was told to say it this way. So the Chasam Sofer says, what's pshat, beautiful thought from the Chasam Sofer. He says there's a halacha. The Gemara Masech Tiksubis discusses this many times. The halacha is, kivin shehigit shuvei nechayzer magid. That once somebody says testimony, he can't go back. So what did this person say? First he comes in and says that he saw the new moon. Now he wants to, so to speak, retract. How could you retract? So he says, I have $200 in my pocket. I took $200 to say Eidus. If I took $200 to say Eidus, I'm apostle aid. So then you can't, don't trust anything I say. The Akeda, this is maybe a little chassidish, so, has a homiletical way of explaining this Gemara. He says, Oila Yisiv Mala Adumim. Why, as Klai Yisrael, how did this happen to Klai Yisrael that we should have tzedakim causing these kind of troubles? Because we're b'mal adumim, we're in Golas Edom. We're in Golas from Edom. V'risa shirovitz bein bein saloyim, Klai Yisrael have, we can relate to this. We have on one side the Adomim attacking us, and we have on another side the Yishma'elim attacking us. Rosh Adom al-Egel, our ears are like a goat, like a calf. We don't hear. They're very heavy ear. A calf is good, is much tastier when it's young. As it gets older, it's not tastier. We were good at the beginning, but then we did that Maisa Egel, and that, so to speak, put us on the wrong track. Oznav Doim Lugdi, we have heavy ears, we don't listen. Kanav Doim Slatzvi, the Tzvi, its horns fall out every year. We don't follow orders, every year we change. Viznav of Menechsa Ben Yerkosov, we have our tail between our legs. We're scared of the goyim. And that's why Klai Yisrael ended up in such a situation that the tzedakim should have such an adverse effect on me. So they asked him, who brought you to this? I heard the Beisusim wanted to trick the chachamim. Let me be the first to tell them. Maybe people who are not trustworthy will end up saying the Eidus. For Yitus Chachamim will be successful in tricking you. We're giving you the money. You could keep it, even though you didn't keep your side of the bargain. You didn't say the false testimony. And the people who hired you, we should get Malchus. That's when they've set up that the only Edom we allow to come in are people who we know are independently honest. There's a very big discussion here between the Paiskim. It's a very complicated situation, Shaila. Let's say somebody was hired to do something wrong. Like this Gemara. Somebody was hired to say false Edus. Or I saw Shaila. Let's say there was a seller and a buyer. And the seller was selling a house. He knew that maybe the house wasn't so good. So he went and told somebody, do me a favor, go tell the buyer what a wonderful house it is, what a wonderful buy it is. lie on my behalf, so he should be interested in buying, or should be interested in paying a higher price. So he does his job, but he did an Aveira. Is he deserving of his pay or not? So the Mefarshim seem to say that from here it's a raya that he deserves his pay. Because the Chachamim had to give this false witness as a matana, because of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, his fee. That means because he didn't do it, he wasn't entitled. It seems if he would have done his job, even though it's something he shouldn't have done, then he would have been he is entitled to what he did, even though he did something wrong. Then there are Paiskim that want to draw a distinction between somebody who takes interest. Let's say somebody lent money on interest, that which is Asr, as we learned earlier. There he's not entitled to the interest, even though he has a document that he's entitled to interest, versus the other situations. It's an interesting shaila. It should never happen, because you should never do anything wrong. Says the Mishnah, at the beginning, how did they notify the people outside of Eretz Yisrael when Rosh Chodesh was? They used to put up these flames, these fires, and we'll talk about it in Mitzvah tomorrow, how everybody realized that it was Rosh Chodesh. V'shkilkel ha-kutim, once the kutim messed it up, Hiskinu she'sholkim yaitzim. So I saw a gevaldig kasha from the Rishash. In the previous Gemara it says v'shkilkel ha-beisusim. Here it says v'shkilkel ha-kutim. Why does it say here kutim and there beisusim? So one answer is simple. The beisusim weren't looking to hurt the Jews. They were just looking to have their position vindicated. The kutim were just Rishon. But another pshat that I saw, the Rishash says, is like this. Here, the Edim, when they lit the fire, so the second night, they put on the fire in the wrong night. Now this is something that ultimately they'll find out was wrong. So the Beisusim would have never done that. Because the Beisusim knew that even if they'll put up the fire the wrong night, they'll just send a message that they'd sabotaged. But the Kutim, who was Stam Rishoim, didn't care. They just did Rishas. Hiskinu shel shalchem yetzit. Keitzari mesu mesu. So how did it work with these flames? Mevi'in klunzer shel eris aruchim. They brought these long pieces of wood. V'kanem v'atzi shemen. V'nur shel pishten. All sorts of wood and cotton. V'karech v'meshicha. And wrapped them. He went up to the top of the mountain. Lit them. They took the fire up and down and back and forth. So Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi, what did they have to do that? So Tosfos says, this is where Tosfos Yontov explains Tosfos. If the fire would only go in one direction, they might have been mistaken that it's not the fire that was made, that's maybe a shooting star. But Tosfos Yontov says that a shooting star never goes in two directions. Either it'll go up and down or it'll go back and forth. So by pulling the fire up and down and back and forth, nobody will make an error that it was a shooting star. And he did that on the first mountain until he saw the people on the next mountain did it. It came Rosh Hashar Shlishin and in the next mountains. What were the mountains that they did this on? Mar Mishchel Sartava, Misatava Lugrafina, Mugrafina Lechavron, Mechavron LeBeisbalten, LeBeisbalten LeZozmisham. They didn't go any further. Umeluch Mevi Milo Moirid, Achay Roy Kol Agoyle Lefana Kedurus Eish. Everybody at the Gemara will tell us tomorrow, put on a fire on their roof, and all of the Golos looked like it was on fire. My Mashma, the Seen Lishin the Yikurhu. How do we see that the Seen means to light a fire? The Ksiv, the Yisoyim David and Noshev, David and his people lit it, but Tagmin of Akhtin and David, David lit a fire.